Okay, today we're learning Nida Daf Yutet. We're going to start at the Mishnah, four lines from the top. Chamisha damim tmeim biisha, adom vashachor ukekeren karkom uchememe adama uchemazug. Okay, this is when you don't have RGB and you can't say exactly these shades to these shades from this number to that number. So this is the way they have to describe it. The same way they describe time in words, they describe colors in objects. Okay, which isn't going to be perfect, as you're going to see. The Gemara is going to say, what do you mean by this, and what do you mean by that? So there's five types of bloods, five colors of blood that are tzmeim. This is where the whole, people who show colors of blood to people, is this a problematic color or not, this is where it comes from. Although, certainly from here, we'll see as it develops later on what happened, but it seems like just really reds, okay? Different shades of red is basically what they're saying. There's red, okay? There's something they call actually red, which we're going to see in the Gemara what exactly that is. Shachor, black, okay, which we saw yesterday was just red that kind of dried up and got bad and turned black. Kikeren karkom, which is the saffron plant. In the middle of the saffron plant, there's an orangey, reddish part, so from the center there. Uchimeme adama, that's dirt, reddish dirt from the ground mixed with water, diluted. We're going to have to see diluted by how much. Obviously, that's going to change the color. And what kind of adama? What?
Like the henna.
Ah, like the henna, exactly. Okay, that's what's in your mind. Good. Uchimazug, the wine. Okay, talking about weddings and stuff. How they make the wine? They took... It was a concentrate, and they mixed it with water. So again, it's going to depend how much water, and I guess also even what kind of wine. But Beit Shammai Omrim, so those are the five colors according to Tanna Kamma. There's going to be a lot of different opinions in this Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim, Av Kimeme Tiltan, also water that you mix with the, what's it called again?
Fenugreek.
Fenugreek. Okay, that it's mixed with the fenugreek plant. Uchememe basar tzli. This is something maybe we could relate to, right? Of roasted meat, the juice that comes out, a reddish color like that, right? All of these are in the red category. Ubeit Hillel metaharim. Okay, Beit Hillel say, no, the ones Beit Shammai said, those are fine. We're going to have to see, obvious question of the Gemara is, why did they say Beit Hillel in addition to Tanna Kamma? Tanna Kamma also said those weren't fine. So what's the difference between Tanna Kamma and Beit Hillel? Hayarok, green. Okay, although it's not really green. Yarok, we've talked about, is really yellow. Okay, I saw some commentary that it's kind of like, again, yellow could be, right? And there's a range of yellow. Yellow obviously could be a little greenish. So like an etrog, the yellow of an etrog. Obviously the yellow etrog and not the green ones. Akavya ben mehalalel mitameh v'chachamim mitaharim. Again, we're going to have a bit of a problem. Obviously the Tanna Kamma also was mitaher because it didn't list it in one of the five. So Akavi ben Mahalalel, we'll have to see why he thinks that this yellowish color is problematic. Amar Rabbi Meir. Now we're going to have the statement that's totally unclear what he means. Okay, he seems to be responding to the yarok color. Imeino metame mishum ketem, mishame mishum mashke. If you're not going to say it's tame because of a ketem, right, if you see a spot on your clothes, at least it should be metame mishum mashke. Now what is mashke? Mashke is a drink. What does a drink have anything to do with this, right? You would have assumed he said, if it's not metameh mishum ketem, it will be metameh, though, if you see it coming out of your body. But that's not really the word you would use to describe coming out of your body, so we're going to have to see some different interpretations as to what Rabbi Meir means. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo kach velo kach, neither that nor that, meaning, I disagree with you, Rabbi Meir, not mishum ketem, not mishum mashke. Again, how does Rabbi Yossi differ from Tanna Kamma? Okay? Ezehu adom. Now we get to what is adom? Kidam hamakah. Okay, adom. Now we're going to have a description. It's interesting. The Mishnah is kind of layered here. Gave the colors. It gave the different opinions. Now it's going to get into, well, what are these colors? Usually those are questions only the Gemara starts asking. So what is adom? Like the dam of a makah. Okay, from a wound. The Gemara is going to get into a slew of interpretations. A wound of what? Right? Different wounds bleed differently. Shachor, kecheret. That's like the ink they used for writing. Amok mikan tameh, deha mikan tahor. If it's deeper in color than that color, then it's tameh. And if it's lighter than that color, than that black ink they use, then it's already tahor. Ukikeren karkom, kibaror shebo. The saffron plant, like the center of it, where it's the most, where it's the most reddish. Uchememe adama. Now, I assume they don't mean only this, but they're giving you an example. Mibikat betakerem. Okay, it's from this place of Bikat Beit HaKerem, which is in the lower Galilee. Umetzaf mayim. And how much water? Well, if you pour water into it, some of the water still floats at the top. That's the color. Uchimazug. What's the recipe for this? Shnei chalakim mayim ve'echad yayin. 2-to-1 ratio. Even though normally it's 3-to-1, right? Because we call it a ravid of yayin. That's a quarter, right? That's usually 3. But here it says 2 chalakim is what they mean by the mazug. Ve'echad yayin. Min hayayin asharoni. And they give you an example of what type of wine from the wine made in the Sharon region, where we are. Okay, Gemara asks now. Min alan de'ikadam tahor bi'isha. How do we know, and as where did we come up with this concept, that there is dam that's tamei and dam that's tahor? Wouldn't you think any blood, it doesn't matter what color it is, would be a problem? So where do we get this concept that there's blood that's tahor in a woman? Dilma, maybe, kol dam da'ate mina tamei. Maybe any blood that comes out is tamei. There's a bit of a debate here among the Rishonim. I wanted to just point this out. It's very interesting. Machloket, why these colors and not any other colors? Is the color indicative of something? So the Rambam says, if you look in Hilchot Isurei Biyah Perakei Halacha Vav, he says, Lo kol mashkeh hayotze min acheder mitameh. Notice he uses the mashkeh term, right? No, it really just means liquids. It should be nozlim or something that come out from hacheder, from the uterus, are tameh. Ela hadam bilvad. Shenemar adam yezova. Lefichach im shatam min arechem loven o mashkeh yahok. And he gives an example of a color that would come out that wouldn't be a problem. Notice what the Rambam says. He says, even if it comes out of the uterus, it's not a problem. Okay? But not everybody agrees with him. Some people say the fact that the color isn't red is indicative of the fact that it doesn't come out of the uterus. That's the Sefer Achinuch and the Smag. They differ with the Rambam. The Rambam basically says, it doesn't matter. The Torah basically determines dam, and we're going to learn where they get it from. Dam means the red shades, and therefore anything that's not red shades, even if it comes from the uterus, is just not a problem. Whereas the other one, the other school of thought is to say, no, it's indicative. The color that way is showing this is from a wound, this is from something else. It's not coming from the uterus. And right, the Abarbanel adds, they don't say this, but the Abarbanel adds that according to that school of thought, it's that maybe it's from a wound or something. In other words, the color is indicative of the fact, which is a little strange because they said red is dam hamakah. And here they're saying if it's a makah, it's going to be a different color. But anyway, there's a lot of different theories as to why specifically only these colors. Okay, so now they want to know, though, where do we get something from the Torah where it indicates the dam tahor b'isha, right, that there is such a thing as dam tahor. So, Amar Rabbi Chamar bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Amar Ka, the Pasuk says, Ki ipale mimcha, okay, we're now way off the topic of Nida. Okay, we're not talking about the psukim of Nida or the psukim of, anything related to blood from a woman. But what are we talking about? The issue of zaken mamre. What's a zaken mamre? It's an elderly, it doesn't have to be elderly, it's just zaken, but it means a rabbi, someone who's a teacher, who disagrees with the rabbis about a psak halacha, and then he goes and he goes against the rabbis. The rabbis then vote against him, and then they bring it all. It goes to the Sanhedrin Hagdolah and the Beit Hamikdash, and then what happens? Then they rule against him, and yet he goes and he teaches in his city, and he gets killed for this. So the pasuk there says, "Amarka ki palemim chadavar la mishpat ben dam ledam ben dam." Okay, so ben dam ledam. So it's a very famous pasuk. It says, right, when there's something that becomes unclear, there's a debate between this rabbi and the other rabbis. Ben dam ledam, between dam, between bloods. So what do they say? What must this mean? Ben dam tahor ledam tameh. It must mean that they're having a debate. Is this dam problematic or is it not? That seems to indicate that there's two types of damim. There's damim that are good, there's damim that are bad or pure and impure, and therefore that must be what their debate is. So now they say, wait a minute. Look at that whole pasuk. You're assuming dam ledam means dam tahor and dam tameh. Elameata, but look at the rest of the pasuk. What's one of the other things it says? It says bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, between different types of leprous marks. So elameata bein nega lenega, hachanami bein nega tameh lenega tahor. You think it means the difference between a leprous mark that's tamein, a leprous mark that's tahor. B'chitem hachanami, and if you want to say that that's the case, nega tahor mi'ika, is there such a thing as a nega tahor? There is no such thing as a nega tahor. If it's a leprous mark, it's a leprous mark. There's no such thing as a leprous mark that's okay. B'chitem, if you want to say maybe there is kulo hafach lavan tahorhu, if you want to say, wait, if you have a leprosy on your entire body, if you remember we learned that, if leprosy on your entire body, then you're tahor, so maybe that's what it means, like ruling in a case like that. But they say, ha'u bohak mikre, they don't even call that nega. In other words, once you call it nega, nega means it's a nega, it's a leprous mark, and it's problematic. So it doesn't make sense to say nega la nega. So therefore, what does nega la nega mean, which is then going to raise a question on our dam la dam. Ela ben nige adam, lenige batim, ulenige begadim. It's a difference what they mean. Be nega le nega, it means you have an issue, a question regarding nige adam, nige batim, right? Nigaim in your house and nigaim in your begadim. That's the nega le nega. It means relating to nigaim, whether something's a nega or it's not a nega, but whether it's a nega on a person or not, whether it's a nega on this or not. But not that there's actually such a thing as a nega that's okay. It means ruling whether this is a nega or it's not at all. But it doesn't mean there's such a thing as a nega tahor. So if that's the case, hachanami bein dam nida ledam ziva vekulan tmeim. Therefore, you can't use this as your proof that dam is there's such a thing as dam tahor, because you could say dam ledam is to distinguish, is this woman's dam ziva blood or nida blood? Remember, nida is when it's the time for period. Zava is the 11 days after her period where it's potential days for zava. And the ruling could be that he thinks it's zava and they think it's nida or something like that, in which case you can learn from here that there's any such thing as dam tahor. So now they say, oh, that's not a good question from the Nagaim. Why? Hi, my. Bishlama hatam ikali ifluge binige adam. Okay, so now they say there could be a machloket in nige adam. In other words, it could be, is the nega tahor or is the nega tameh? And here could be the debate. They're giving examples of the possible debate between the zaken and the rabbis. The assumption when the zaken rules against the rabbis, it's not that he made up his own thing and is doing his own thing. It's that he's relying on some opinion that they don't rely on. So he's saying, I hold by so-and-so, and they're now going to bring all these cases in Nige Adam, Nige Batim, and Nige Begadim, where there's a machloket, and theoretically you could say that the Zakeh Mamre holds one side of the machloket, and they hold a different side of the machloket, which then brings us back to saying that there could be such a thing as a Nega Tahor and a Nega Tameh, and then we'd say there could be such a thing as Dam Tahor and Dam Tameh, and then this goes back to be our proof. So now we're going to go through each of the three types of Nigaim, of leprosy on person, leprosy on in the house, and leprosy on the clothes, where there could be a debate between the Zakeh Mamre and the rabbis about what it is, whether it's a nega or not, whether it's a nega tameh or a nega tahor. Ubeplutet Rabbi Yeshua v'Rabbanan. Okay, so when it comes to nega adam, there's a machloket Rabbi Yeshua v'Rabbanan in the following case. Ditnan says in the Mishnah, im baheret kodem l'se'ar lavan. Okay, first it was you had a leprous mark, and then the white hair grows from it, tameh. That's an indicator that it's impure, that it's a nega, tameh. Im se'ar lavan kodem labaheret, but if first the hair was white, then came the leprous mark, tahor. Safek, but let's say you're not sure what the order was, you didn't notice which came first, tameh. Okay, according to the rabbis, it's tameh if it's safek. Rabbi Yoshua omer kehe. Okay, he says something which is not so clear. Okay, he says it got darker, or right? What's how they translate it? Actually, it got dark. What? It got faint. Sorry, the opposite. It got faint. Bama Rabba. So now he explains what does that mean? Kehe v'tahor. Okay, he says if it's suffic, then we view that as if it got fainter, and we're going to say it's tahor. Okay, so here you have a case where one says tahor, one says tameh. That could be the nega adam between a nega tahor and a nega tameh. B'nigei batim, what's the machloke? Ki ha-plugtat Rabbi Elezer Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbana. Ditnan, as it says, Rabbi Elezer Rabbi Shimon omer, lo'olam en abaye tameh ad shi'ere'e kishnei grisim al shnei avanim b'shnei kotalim b'keren zavit. Okay, I'll start and then we'll continue. It has to be the size of two grisim, like barley beans, barley kernels, al shnei avanim, on two different stones, b'shnei kotalim, on two different walls, Bekeren Zavit. How do you get it on two different walls? Well, you have a corner. It's in the corner of your house, and it's spread two grisim long, so one gris on each wall, or kokishne grisim, the length of it is two grisim long, rochbo ki gris, its width is a gris. That's the size of a minimum shear, and the idea is that it's spread on these two walls. Okay, we'll see in a minute where he gets it from, but he says only if you find it in that way is it going to be tameh. If it's not spread on two walls, or it's smaller than this size, then it's not going to work. It's not a nega. My taima, de Rabbi Elazar bar Shimon. My taima de Rabbi Elazar bar Shimon. What's his reason? K'tiv kir u'k'tiv kirot. Okay, let's read the whole pasuk. The pasuk is B'ra'a et ha'nega, v'hine ha'nega ba'kirot, so the Kohen sees the nega, and it's on the walls, kirot ha'bayit, on the walls of the house. Notice it's plural. Shka'ul, it's a hard word to say. Shka'arurot yirakroket o adamdomet. Okay, that's the color. U'marehen shafal minakir. And the way they look is, it looks deeper from the wall. Now, the important point for our purposes is, it says kirot in the beginning of the pasuk, and it says kir at the end of the pasuk. So, Ezehu Kir, Shehu Kishne Kirot. How can you have one wall that's like two walls? Heve Omer, Zekeren Zavit. Right? It's kind of on one wall, but on two walls. It spreads among two walls in the corner. That's how we could call it both a Kir and Kirot. Right? You would have thought Kirot means you have a spot here and a spot there. Therefore, it's like one Kir because they're right next to each other. It's one big blotch, but they're spread on two walls, and that can only happen in the corner. So, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, it has to be in the corner. And obviously the rabbis disagree and say it doesn't have to be on the corner, even on one wall would be sufficient, and we could call that a nega, so that could be a case where the Zakei Mamre differs from the rabbis about this machloket. B'nigei begadim, b'plukta d'Rabbi Yonatan ben of Tumos, v'rabbanan, d'tanya. Rabbi Yonatan ben of Tumos omer minayin l'prichat begadim shehi tehora. How do you know that if you have sarat, we've talked just before, if a person has sarat on his entire body, he's tahor. What if the clothing has sarat from the top to the bottom? The entire baguette is full of sarat. Is that tahor? So according to Rabbi Yonatan ben of Tumos, it is. How does he learn this? Ne'emar karachat begabachat bebgadim. Those two words appear when it talks about nigaim of the baguette. And ne'emar karachat begabachat ba'adam. Also, when they talk about leprosy on a person, they use the same words. So when you use the same words, you can say it's a gzera shava. Mala halam parach bekulo tahor, just like by Adam, if it spreads on his entire beged, his entire body, it's pure. It's not leprosy from according to the Torah. Afkan nami parach bekulo tahor, likewise on your beged. But the rabbis disagree with him, and they think not. We'll see soon why. Elahacha idam tahor leka b'may plige. But when it comes to us, all right, one second. Oh, forget it. We don't talk about why the rabbis disagree with that, but right, they just think that that's a unique, it doesn't say it here, they just think it's a unique halacha by Adam. That whole thing about paracha, sarat, covering the entire body, is only a unique halacha by Adam, not by Begadim. They obviously didn't learn that Gzeira Shavah. Okay, so now they say, so therefore, idam tahor leka b'may plige. So again, we go back to, if there's no such thing as a debate regarding dam tahor, which dam is tahor or not, well then, what could the Zakei Mamre be arguing with the rabbis about? And therefore, it must be that dam is tahor, and we learn it from, you know, there are damim that are tahorim, and we learn it from that pasuk. It's an interesting way of learning it. It's kind of very, you know, roundabout or you know, not direct way of learning it. B'may plige. So now they want to know, So now they say, well, how do we know that these are the colors that are tameim and those are the colors that are tahorim? How do we know how to draw the line? How do we know that red is the dam that's problematic? So Amar Rabbi Abahu Damar Ka Vayiru Moav Et HaMayim Adumim Kidam. It says that Moav saw the water and it was red like blood. What do you see here? Right, this is in Sefer Melachim Bet. Says red like blood. So what do you see here? Blood is red. That's the definition of blood. Lememra de dam adom hu. Lememra de dam adom hu. That's their, right? That's it. So they say, that comes to teach you that dam is adom. Right? It could have just said the mayim were adumim. Didn't have to say kedam, or the mayim was like dam. It didn't have to say adumim kedam. So the fact that they say both teaches you that dam is red. Ema adom vitulo. So then why don't we just say one color, adom, that's it, nothing else. Amarabi avau amavka dameha dameha harekan arba'a. Because it says dameha in plural in two places, each time plural means two, two plus two, four, perfect. Where are these pesukim? So the first pesuk is in Dvarim, Perakaf. I think it's pesuk yud chet. Just trying to find it in the Torah or here. Isha sheyishka v'tisha dava v'gilat ervata et mekora ha'era v'hi gilta mekor dameha. Okay, this is about a man sleeping with a woman when she's in Nida. It says there, Dameha, v'nechretu shneihem mikarev hamam. And the second pasuk is in Vayikra Yudbet, where it talks about the Yoledet. And there also it says Dameha. Okay, so two places it says Dameha. They learn from there four colors. But wait a minute. Vahanan, Chamishatnan, didn't we say five colors? How do you get to four colors? And first we started with just red, right? Because we just said Adumim Kedam. And they say, we add on to that Dameha, Dameha. It's a drasha that we can add now. Say four. Okay, it's interesting. You could have just said we added four to the original. But they say, no. That means there are four. What about five? Oh, we said this yesterday. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Shachor Adom Hu Ela Shelaka. Right? Shachor is just red that went bad. So basically, it's an outgrowth of red. So there's red and these other three shades. And within red, there's another shade that we call black. Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a brighter to support that the Shachor is just red that went bad. Kecheret. Remember, just like our Mishnah says, it's the color of the ink. Amok mikan tameh, diha afilu kikhol tahor. If it's lighter, even like a blue, like the blue eyeshadow they used to use, it's tahor. V'shachor ze lo mitchila tohu mashchir. It's not black from the start. Ela kishene'ekav hu mashchir. But when it comes out of its place, right, meaning let's say blood leaves your body and then over time it turns black, right? Mashal l'dam makah, so it's just like the example. And mashal in this case doesn't mean I'll make you a comparison, it's saying this is an example. Dam makah l'shenei karu mashpir. But if you have a wound, after it comes out of your body, it turns black. Beit Shammai Amrim, now we're going back. So we have the five, we learned it. We learned from the Zakeh Mamre that there's such a thing as Dam Tahor. We learned from Dameh that we get not just to Adom, but also red. And then we get from the Pasuk about the Moavim, with the blood being red, the blood is red. Then we get Dameh to the fact that we have four colors, the black comes out of the red, and now we're moving on to Beit Shammai, who added these other two. So now they say, V'leile leBeit Shammai Dameh Dameh, what does he do with that drasha of the four? Harekan Arba'a. Right? Didn't we say Dameh Dameh is four? So what does Beit Shammai do with it? So two possible answers, and we're going to repeat this as we go through all the opinions of the Mishnah. We're going to have Akavi Ben Mahalalel who says also Yarok, right? What does he do with it? So Ibai Dema Leitluhu, maybe he just doesn't have this drasha, possible. Ibai Dema Eitluhu, or he does have the drasha, but we can answer just like we answered about the black. What can we say? Milo Amar Rabbi Chanina Shachor Adomu Ela Shalaka Hachanami Milkahu Delake. We could say the same thing, that these colors are just shades of the other colors, right? They're the other colors that went bad. Right? If you take the other colors and you leave them out for a little while, they'll turn color to this color. So in which case, he basically is saying, there are four, like it's like we've talked about Avod and Toladot, right? There's four main ones, and from there, they turn into a few other colors. Ubeit Hillel Mitaharin. So now we had this problem I mentioned when we read the Mishnah. Tanakhama says there's five. Beit Shammai adds another two. And Beit Hillel says he's Mitaher, those two, which sounds like he's basically Tanakhama. So, Beit Hillel Mitaharin, Hainu Tanakhama. Ika Benayu Litzlot. What does it mean, Litzlot? That means Misafik. So what they were saying is this. Why did Beit Hillel notice his Lashon? He says Mitaharin. He says those are Tahorim Legamri. They're completely Tahor. But what did Tanakhama think? Well, they're semi-tahor, right? They're not tamei vadai. They're tamei misafek. Okay, even though it didn't sound that way, but now we're assuming if there has to be some difference between Beit Hillel and Tanakhama, it must be that Tanakhama would say, if a woman sees blood of one of these colors that's not one of the five, then what should we do? Well, let's say like the Beit Shammai colors. So we'd say safek, so if she touches truma, then we don't burn it, but we can't eat it. Hayarok, akavi ben mahalalel metame. Again, we're going to have the exact same sugya now. Vilele la akavi dameh dameh harekan arba. He doesn't have that drasha. So, ibai dema lele. Either he doesn't have it, and that's why he adds this yarok color. Ibai dema ile. Or he does, and then how do you explain it? Well, Milo Amar Rabbi Chanina Shachor Adomu Ela Shalaka Hachanami Milkahu Delake. You can say that it's an outgrowth of one of the other colors. This is a little more difficult because for red to turn yellow is already a little less likely, although it does happen, right? You can leave it for a little while and it might get paler in color. V'chachamim mitaharim. Again, we're going to have the same question. After a caveat, it said chachamim mitaharim, but doesn't Tanakama also mitaher? So, hainu Tanakama. Again, they're going to answer, ika b'nayu litlot. Again, chachamim who umar taharim, say it's tahor entirely. And Tanakama is going to say misafik. Amar Rabbi Meir. Now we get to that very confusing line about Rabbi Meir, about imeino mitameh mishum ketem, mitameh mishum mashkeh. So we're going to have, I think it's three different interpretations about how to understand. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yarad Rabbi Meir l'shitat akavya b'mehalalel, v'timeh. Rabbi Yochanan says that really Rabbi Meir agrees 100% with akavya b'mehalalel, that it's tameh. Even though he says, imeino mitameh mishum ketem, it sounds like he doesn't think it's mitameh mishum ketem, but he's going to say like this. Really, he agrees 100%. Yarok is mitameh, even mishum ketem. But he speaks to the rabbis who disagree with that, and he says to the rabbis like this. If you were to have a ketem yarok on a piece of clothes, lo mitamitu. In other words, I understand, rabbis, you say yarok is not a problem. So I get you when it comes to ketem. I understand. If a woman sees a ketem yarok on a baguette, I could see that you would say that's not tameh, even though I disagree with you. But hecha dekachaz yadam yarok migufa titma. But when it comes to mashkeh, which again, what do we say mashkeh means? Mashkeh means it's coming out of her body. Then I would think that you would agree with me that that would be tameh, because here you have something coming out of her body, and we're going to call it dam, even though it's not red. Again, for us, it's hard for us to imagine dam is dam and yarok is yellow is not dam. But he's going to say, I could see that you might think that's, you would probably agree with me that that's nitma. And that's his reaction to the rabbis. So again, he holds yarok 100% is a problem, but he says to the rabbis, you would disagree with me. I can understand maybe you won't agree with me about a ketem, but for sure you would agree with me if it comes out of her body. So the Gemara rejects this because the Gemara says it can't be that's what Rabbi Meir meant. Because ihachi imeino mitameh mishum ketem mitameh mishum mashkeh mishum ro'eh mibayaleh. It should have said because she sees. Now it should have compared the way we always say. If you remember, we had ketem versus ro'ah dam. That's always the language that they use. It doesn't make sense all of a sudden. Instead of saying ro'ah dam, they would call it mashkeh. So they reject that. Next option. Ela hachi kamar lehu. This is what Rabbi Meir said to the rabbis, "Nehi hecha delochas yadam yarok meikara lo mitamitu." I can see that what you're saying is, if she sees the first thing she sees is dam yarok, fine. I get that you don't want to say that's tameh. Aval hecha dechas yadam adom v'hadar chas yadam yarok titma midi dehave amashke zav v'zava. Now we're basically switching topics. Okay, and the next is going to be another switch of topics. I understand that if you see blood that's yellow, so we're not going to say that's a problem. But if the woman was to see red, which means she's now in Nida, and then some yellow discharge comes out of her body, wouldn't we call that discharge, no, it's not her, she's already Tameh, she's Nida. But what do we say? The Mashkeh, anything that comes out of the body of a Zavid, here the word Mashkeh works because we call it Mashkim. Called the mashkim of azav, which is his spit, his urine, and not only for azav, azavan, and nida also, and yoled that have these laws. The liquids that come out of their body, it comes from a pasuk that says v'chi yarok. That's why they start with rok. We're going to get to rok in a minute. The spit, if he spits on something, on someone, and the spit goes on a person, that's mitame, the person it goes on, and he's tame chuma of a day, and his closure, need washing. So, now they say like this. So wouldn't you agree with me at least that when this yarok thing comes out of her body, this yellow discharge, wouldn't you say that the discharge that comes out of it were to touch something, it would be mitame, that person or kli, that it would touch. Rabbanan disagree, and they say no. We have to have something that the rabbis disagree about. So in other words, they have to get creative here and come up with something where the word mashkeh connects with it, where Rabbi Meir thinks it's a problem and the rabbis are going to disagree. So what would the rabbis say? Why would they think this isn't mitame mishum mashkeh zav zava? Dumi adirok. The whole halacha comes from rok, from spit. Maor saliva. Marok shemit agel viyotze. How does saliva come out of your mouth? Well, it kind of collects in your mouth, right? Very pleasant image. And it comes out all at once. Af kol shemit agel viyotze. Therefore, we're only talking about liquids that come out of your body. Kind of they collect inside your body, like urine also, right? It collects, and then it all comes out at once. La fuke hai de emit agel viyotze. Blood, you know, drips out slowly, slowly, slowly over a long period of time. So therefore, this yellowish discharge that comes out of her body, we're not going to say it's mitame mishum mashkeh v'zav. So that's the machloka between them in the Mishnah. That's the suggestion anyway. But now the Gemara says, no, I don't accept that suggestion. Yihachi, shaper kabale rabban al Rabbi Meir. If that's the case, Rabbi Meir really has no claim. The rabbis are really right. And if they're so right that it doesn't even make sense that Rabbi Meir would disagree with them about this. So therefore, that can't be what Rabbi Meir is talking about. So option number three. Elahachi kamar lehu. Lahave kimashke lahakshir et hazra'im. What's this? This is a different topic. The topic they were talking about is this yellow discharge that comes out of the woman's body. Is it considered, if you remember, there's seven liquids that are machshir, something like a bel tuma. What does that mean? It causes something to be susceptible to tuma. If you have, let's say, crops, while they're in the ground, they're not susceptible to tuma. When you cut them, they're also not. Some liquid has to come upon them after they've been cut, and then it can become tameh, but it's a liquid of one of the following seven liquids. Remember the Rashi Tevot, Yad Shachat Dam, and the Dalet is for Dam. Dam is one of them. So would you call this Dam for purposes of, so you say, Eino Matameh Mishum Ketem, but you would call it a Mashkeh in order L'Hachshir Et Hazra'im. For Rabbanam, what do they say? No, you wouldn't call this. Why? By Dam Chalalim V'Leika. Okay, you need it to be, okay, if you remember, where did they learn the pasuk about dam, that dam could be one of the seven mashkin? Because the pasuk says, dam chalalim yishteh. What is dam chalalim? The dam from a dead body, right? When you kill a person, the blood that comes out from killing a person, that's yishteh, which means, if you, right, it doesn't really mean you drink it, but it uses the word yishteh as in connection with dam, which means it could be drunk, which means it could be a liquid, but only dam that the nefesh, right, the nefesh leaves the body from it, not blood that comes out of a woman's body. That's not the type of dam that we're talking about. And therefore, the dam yarok, according to Rabbanan, would not be machshir et hazra'im. The Gemara is going to reject this also. I said there were three. So we'll see that the real answer is going to be an outgrowth of this third answer. So right now they're going to reject it. If that's the case, it seems pretty obvious that the rabbis are right, in which case Rabbi Meir has no claim, in which case it doesn't make sense that there's a debate between them. So now they say no. We'll revise this a little bit. This is really what Rabbi Meir said. Let's learn it out from a Gzera Shava. How so? K'tiv hacha shlachayich pardes rimonim. Okay, what does this mean? This is a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. It means shlachayich, that's the things that flow from your body, meaning the blood of the woman's body, is a pardes rimonim. What's unique about a pardes rimonim in an orchard full of pomegranates? That it's fenced around, right? People protect it very well. So the women, it's a reference to women that they take laws of nida very seriously, and they kind of fence off their bodies while they're impure to their husbands. So there we see a reference to the blood as called shlachayich. Where's the Gzera Shavu? K'tiv Hatam, it says in another pasuk, v'sholeach mayam apnei chutzot. And what does it use? The word sholeach, which is like the shlachayich, and it uses it in connotation with water. So what do you see? What comes out of the woman's body is like water, and therefore, even if it's a yellowish discharge, it will be metameh. It'll be machshir lekabel tumah. V'rabanan, so now we're going to have to come up with something why the rabbis disagree with this. Adam dan kavachomer me'atzmo, ve'ein adam dan gzera shava me'atzmo. This is a very general principle always, that we say a kavachomer is a logical reference, a logical inference. When it comes to logic, everyone can make up their own kavachomer, and that's why, if you remember, you can't actually learn punishments from kavachomer and things like that, or there's debate whether you can learn an azhara even from a kavachomer, but a gzera shava you can, because a gzera shava was only something you got in a tradition. It was passed down to you from someone else. You can't just make up your own. So they claim Rabbi Meir is making up his own Gzera Shava, and he says, no, I have this Gzera Shava, you know, and they argue. And that's the argument between Rabbi Meir and the rabbis about, again, the conclusion is, it's the third answer, which is it's about, can the Dam Yarok be cause something to become susceptible to Tuma? Okay, Rabbi Yossi. Now we're up to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi responds to Rabbi Meir and says, lokach the lokach, right? Not meaning dam yarok is not a problem for nida, and it's not a problem for not ketem, and not for, you know, if we say it's machshir lekabel tuma. So now they say, Hainu Tanakama. Isn't that Rabbi Yossi the same as Tanakama? Now, instead of saying the answers they gave previously, they say now, to answer this question, they say, Hakamash v'lam man Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. V'kol omer dabar b'shem amro mevi geula la'olam. They just wanted to tell us, and notice why we didn't answer the same thing as we answered last time. What did we answer last time? One, Tanakama says it's Tzatzur Misafek, even though he said it wasn't listed, but they would agree, misafek, we're going to say it's tameh, whereas the other opinion had said mitaharim. But here the lashon of mitaharim didn't appear in Rabbi Yossi's words, so we couldn't give that as an answer. So what do they say? It must be that Rabbi Yossi is Tanakama. Okay, the Tanakama was given it to us anonymously, and later the Mishnah told us, oh, that's Rabbi Yossi. So why'd they do that? Because they wanted people to know who said it, because anyone who passes on this halacha, if you say b'shem amro, you bring gula la'olam, it's considered a very positive thing, and therefore they wanted people to be able to quote it in the name of the person who said it. Okay, now we're going to end off with the color red. And ha'ezehu adom kedam ha'makah. So now, obviously, so we said, on the one hand, the Mishnah starts giving us explanations, which it doesn't usually do, but the fact that the Mishnah gave us an explanation wasn't enough of an explanation for the rabbis. The rabbis of the time of the Gemara want to know, my kedama makah. What type of makah are we talking about? And there's a whole list of answers. It's interesting, the Rishonim, there's a debate about whether they actually disagree with each other, or they're each just giving examples from their own personal experience. Okay, so what's dam makah? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kedam shor shachut. Right, you have to wonder, maybe he was a shochet, I don't know, and that's why, you know, everybody has their own life experience and what they do in their minds. So what does he say? It's like the blood coming from an ox that someone slaughters. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara says, "Velema kedam shchita." Why didn't it say then? You wouldn't call that dam makah. You call that dam shchita. So they say, "Iamar kedam shchita." If you would have said dam shchita, havamina kekula shchita, you might have thought not just. Remember, we learned all this in Chulin and Zvachim about all the blood that comes out. There's the dam from the beginning, and then there's the dam from the inside that comes out later, the damatantzit. So what did we say? We would have thought it's any kind of blood throughout the entire shchita process. Kamash malan kedam hamakat ketchilat haka'ash shel sakin. Therefore, use the lashon dam makat to teach you it's the first dam that comes out as soon as the knife hits the body. That's option number one. Ula amar kedam tzipor chaya, the blood that comes out of a live bird. So now the answer, right, which means basically if you wound a bird, not if you kill the bird, if you wound a bird gets wounded, what's the color of the blood that's going to come out? That's the color. Now they question this chaya. I explain chaya as alive rather than slaughtered. But they say maybe it means the blood from a bird, that chaya is also a term of healthy rather than a very measly, weak bird. So the answer is teku. We don't actually know the answer, which type of, what he meant when he said kitzipor chaya. Ze'eri, third option, Amar Rabbi Chanina, he said the name Rabbi Chanina, kedam ma'acholet shel rosh, like a lice bug from someone's head. Lice from someone's head. So now they say, meitive, but wait, doesn't this contradict the following source? Harga ma'acholet hareze tolaba. Remember, if she kills a lice, then we can assume that the blood on her clothing is from that. This is laws of ketamim. She finds some blood on her cloak and it, possible she sat on a lice bug or something, then she can assume it's from there. Now, what's the assumption? If you can, she looks at the blood and she says it could be from a lice bug, then it must be the color of lice blood, louse blood is red. So if that's the case, they say, didn't say there macholet shel rosh, and it almost sounded like it was a louse from somewhere else, you know, not necessarily one that lives in people's heads. So my lav de kule gufa, lo dirosha, they say no, it could be it was a louse from her head. Ami vardina'a amar Rabbi Avahu, fourth option, kidam etzba ktana shel yad shenakfa v'chayta v'chazra v'nagfa. It's like blood from your hand that got injured, then healed, and then injured again. Lo shel kol adam, and now he starts to limit it. Not even that it has to be blood that was from an injury that got healed and then opened up again, but from a wound that opened up again, but not even any person, ela shel bachor, shelona saisha, has to be a young person, a young man, that hasn't yet gotten married, v'ad kama ad ben esrim, under the age of 20. Okay? I guess it's like his blood is stronger, more deep red, I don't know. So now they say, meitive, but wait, we can contradict this from the following source. Tola bibinau bibala. There's a case where a woman can assume if there's blood on her clothes and her husband or son were right around. I think it's also, it could be, it's even talking about she was in the bed where they were in the bed also, or they were in the bed before her, or whatever it is. She can assume that maybe it came from them, and it's not necessarily from her, the blood. So bishlama bibinam shkachala. So we understand her son, well, he's under 20 and not married, likely. Ella ba'alav, and how could you have a case of her husband who's under 20 maybe, but not yet married? Didn't it say he has to be married? So, Ritalona Saisha, Hechi Mishkahala. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kigon Shenichnesa L'chupa V'lo Nivala. Okay, a very rare ukimta, or very, you know, it narrows it to a very unique case where they've gotten married but they haven't yet had relations, and therefore it doesn't mean Nasa Isha, it means he hasn't yet had sex with his wife. Rav Nachman Amar, Kidam HaKaza. Another interpretation is like the blood when you bloodlet. Okay, Meitive, one last question, and this question is on all of the different opinions that we've seen. My lava adom. So they say there was a case where Rebbe, someone brought blood to Rebbe, and he said, we can assume that this came from this red ointment that someone, there was some salve that they would put on their eye, and maybe it was reddish, so maybe it's from that. Rebbe said, maybe we can assume it's from the sap of the sycamore tree. So now, weren't they saying, Adom, wasn't it that it was red? And then they said, well, even though it's red, right, we can assume that red comes from something else, which would seem those two aren't really red the way we've defined Dam Makah. It's a different type of red. So they say, Lo Ashar Damim. Wait, remember, there were four other colors. So it wasn't the red that he said, we can assume it came, it's not red like this. It's, right, it's the same color. We can just assume it came from somewhere else. Just like we had the macholet. The macholet must be the same red, right? So likewise here, it must be the same red. So then they say, no. They were saying it was the same shade as a different of one of the other four colors mentioned in the Mishnah, or three. It certainly wouldn't be the shachor. And therefore, that's not a question, because we're just dealing with red. We'll get to the other ones after, and we'll see that that was kind of an outgrowth of one of the others.